Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we merit to stay in this most mundane and yet paradoxically existential of eternal moments. You now turn into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly suggest and forcefully assert with the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We'll call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class number 673, Hillel, Shammah, and Hanukkah Part 1. Blessed is our eternal creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience. With creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on December 14th, 2017. Now 10:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals a.k.a. equals the USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Program content will focus on sharing Hasidic discourse, mimer delivered by the Lubavitch Rebbe in 5714, corresponding to 1953, concerning Hanukkah. Our call number is 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And you're listening to the conclusion of a wonderful song by a wonderful young group of men called the Maccabees. So, Candles on the Sill. It is their song for Hanukkah, celebrating their 10 years as an a cappella group, with the only instrumentation that you hear are the beautiful sounds of their blessed voices. So we'll just let the music play out, and then we'll begin with our program. Hold on, please.
Night and day, singing to all I need.
Gentlemen, young men of the Maccabees, may the Most High bless you to continue to rejoice the hearts of the nation of Israel and all the good people of the world, the children of Noah. That was Candles on the Sill by the Maccabees. Blessed souls, this is a wonderful opportunity to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah, whether you're Jewish or one of the blessed children of Noah, because there's so many instructions embedded for life from the 8 days of Hanukkah. Now we lit the second light last night. Tonight we hope to light the third light. Just want to point out that today's program is dedicated to the elevation of the soul of my dear father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov Olav Shalom Ben Chuna David. Hello, Shalom. My paternal grandfather, and of course, my father. And anyone would like to make a future dedication towards the program, we're not going to charge any money. You can just send me a request through Facebook. Also, you can send to me an email at dongoodman6@gmail.com. Before we get into the meat of this discussion between Hillel and Shammai, blessed souls, perhaps some of you have heard of Shammai or Hillel the Elder, Hillel the Zaken, because they are featured in some of the teachings of Pirkei Avot, the ethics of our fathers. I'll give you an example of a teaching of Shammai from the first chapter of Pirkei Avot, Mishnah 15. Shammai said, "Set a fixed time for your study of Torah, say the little and do much, and receive every person with a cheerful countenance." How much of a better world it would be if we could all follow that wonderful advice from Shammai the sage. As far as Hillel, a teaching from Pirkei Avos, chapter 2, Mishnah 4, Hillel said, "Do not separate yourself from the community. Do not be sure of yourself until the day you die. Do not condemn your fellow man until you have stood in his place. Do not make an ambiguous statement which is not readily understood, in the belief that it will ultimately be understood. And do not say, quote, 'When I have free time, I will study,' for perhaps you will never have free time." Hillel also used to say, "A boar cannot be fin-searing. I'm sorry, what am I, fin-searing? Well, that's an interesting dyslexia moment, Danzusia. A boor cannot be sin-fearing, nor can an ignoramus be a chassid, one who does more than the strict letter of the law requires. The bashful person cannot learn, neither can the short-tempered teach, nor can anyone who is much occupied in trade become a scholar in a place where there are no men. Strive to be a man." One time Hillel saw a skull floating on the water. He said to it, obviously he had Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, to make such a pronouncement as I'm about to share with you, "Because you drowned others, they drowned you. And ultimately, those who drowned you will themselves be drowned." Including with one more teaching, a series of teachings from very short, very intense teachings from Hillel, the elder, who was the basis for the beginning of this Hasidic discourse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Hillel used to say, "Increasing flesh increases worms in the grave. Increasing possessions increases worry. Increasing the number of wives increases sorcery." Now, he was addressing a time when an Israelite man, Jewish man, could marry more than one wife. It's enough in our day just to have one, by the way, my own personal opinion. "Increasing maidservants increases lewdness. Increasing manservants increases thievery. But increasing Torah increases life. Increasing assiduous study increases wisdom. Increasing counsel increases understanding. Increasing charity increases peace. One who has acquired a good name has acquired it for himself. One who has acquired for himself Torah knowledge has acquired for himself life in the world to come." A little small selection of the teachings from Shammai and Hillel. Now we turn to this teaching of the Lubavitcher. We won't cover the whole teaching today. Go about another, 15 minutes, and then we'll wrap up the show. We should understand, blessed souls, that Hillel and Shammai both lived before the common era. I know Hillel lived until 9 years into the common era. I apologize, I don't know long if Shammai lived into the common era. And if he did, what year did he pass on in the common era? I'm not sure. Or did he pass on before the common era, perhaps that is true as well. But the main point is, as the Rebbe starts this presentation, is both sages had different perspectives on the approach regarding lighting the Hanukkah candles. So Shammai was of the viewpoint that the first night of Hanukkah, one should light 8 candles. And each night, we reduce one candle. So we go basically from 8 candles to 7 candles to 6 candles to 5 candles to 4 candles to 3 candles to 2 candles to 1 candle. And Shammai brought a support from how the cattle sacrifices were offered during Sukkot. From the first day of Sukkot, or Sukkos, 13 cattle were sacrificed. And then for the next 7 days, there was a decrease from 13 to 12, to 11, to 10, to 9, to 8, to 7 cattle. That equaled 70. So every day, one less steer was offered. But Hillel took a different position. His position, which we've been holding by for close to 2,000 years. Actually, more than 2,000 years, because, again, he passed away 9 years into the Common Era, so that would be 2,008 years ago. So for more than 2,008 years, Hillel held that on the first night of Hanukkah, we light one light. And each night we add another light. And concluding, the height of the holiday is the eighth night, where eight candles are lit. Now, Hillel took a different perspective based on the traditions that had been distilled down to him by his elders, based that on the principle that when it comes to Kedusha, holiness, one should constantly increase. And this also followed an oral Torah tradition that whenever sages had instituted new practices, such as the Hanukkah lights, because they didn't like the Hanukkah menorah in the days of Moses, Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet, so the ruling to institute, as was instituted, the lighting of the Hanukkah menorah for the masses of Israelite Jewish people, that had to be compatible with a principle in Torah. So the principle in Torah that Hillel based his viewpoint on was the idea of increasing in holiness, which is a general rule in Torah. So Hillel took that perspective as a justification of starting with one candle light on the first night and adding each night another candle. On the other hand, Hillel could be flexible enough to actually agree with Shammai that from one perspective, Hanukkah lights are similar to the decreasing cattle sacrifices of Sukkot or Sukkot. It was just that from another perspective, the practice of increasing in holiness, which would be a basis of lighting one candle, then two candles, three candles, until the eighth night, eight candles, was based on a principle in Torah that he differed with Shammai. Now, there is a similarity which blatantly appears before our blessed eyes, ears, and mind, if we take note, that the festival of Sukkot is 8 days. The festival of Hanukkah is 8 days. However, from another perspective, from a more interdimensional perspective, when is the menorah lit on Hanukkah? It's after sunset. This resembles a sukkah whose roof must block out sunlight. Concerning the laws of a sukkah with a roof, which is called schach, if more sunlight than shade enters, the sukkah isn't kosher. Nevertheless, the question can be asked, why did the sage of Israel deem it necessary to establish this festival for 8 days? I guess from one perspective, you could say it should really be only a 7-day festival, because according to the laws of nature, when you light olive oil with a wick, it should burn for 1 day. The miracle is that it lasted an additional 7 days. So why was the first night included in the totality of this holiday, which is 8 days? The Rebbe turned to an historical point of reference that who defeated the Greeks in those days? It was a group of Kohanim, and those who later joined them called the Hashmonaim, the Hashmonites. They were a group of zealot Kohanim from the priestly branch of Israel who wanted to resume the service of the Second Temple. One of the temple's features that distinguished it as a place of serving the Creator was that there was a menorah there that had 7 branches. And every afternoon, a Kohen, duly appointed, would kindle it with new olive oil. Now, only substances which were deemed, according to Torah, written in oral Torah tradition, which were ritually pure, and the people themselves, meaning the Kohanim that lit it, were permitted inside the temple. The Greeks' intent was, not only did they want to stop the service with inside the holy temple, They wanted to defile everything, including the olive oil. When it came to the point, Rebbe continued, when the Hashmonites, or Chashmonaim, recaptured the Holy Temple, they discovered that the Greeks had opened up the flasks of oil, thereby rendering them impure. However, they were able to find one teeny tiny single flask of Shemen Zayit Zach, pure ritual olive oil, which had the imprint, so to speak, the certification of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Now, each flask that was kept in the temple was enough oil to keep the menorah lit for 24 hours. But rather burning out by the next morning, this unique flask of oil with the certification of the high priest burned. We have to say it miraculously burned for another 7 days. Now, during those 7 days, that gave the Jewish people, the Chashmonaim, the time to produce new olive oil. This is because that many of the Jews who had to bury the dead became ritually impure. And it took 1 week to become ritually pure, according to the written and oral Torah tradition, in terms of purification of Jews who became sullied with this type of tumah, of impurity. They had a week to become ritually pure, and then the workers themselves, who had to be in a state of purity, could make fresh oil, which would be presented to the temple in a state of purity. So again, as I mentioned before, and the Rebbe brings this out, the miracle really lasted only 7 days. There was only enough oil for 1 day. And scholars throughout the ages, Israelite sages, have not been so successful in dealing with a certain dilemma. One suggestion, one perspective from our sages, is that Hanukkah should be considered an 8-day miracle because the flask content were divided into 8 equal portions, one portion for one for each succeeding day, which means the amount of oil that was used to light on the first night of Hanukkah was only 1/8 of the quantity that would have been needed to allow the candles to burn deep into the night, into the morning, or before the morning came. And the next night, 1/8 of the amount quantity needed to use to light the menorah would be used again. And the Chashmonaim, the Hashmonites, understood well that it would take a week before new, pure oil would, arrive. So, from that perspective, according to our sages, they used less than the acquired amount each day. That way, at least there'd be enough for the menorah to be lit every afternoon, even though the expectation was the oil wouldn't last the whole night. There's another perspective, that the entire flask of oil was emptied into the menorah's 7 cups in the temple, and rather than burning out after 24 hours, the oil lasted 8 days. Alternatively, the flask may have remained miraculously full. Each day, poured the contents of that flask into the menorah, the flask never became emptied. The flask remained full. However, the Rebbe continued, none of whatever I shared with you, blessed souls, based on the Rebbe's elucidation, solved the problem because the first day didn't need a miracle. After all, if you put enough oil into the menorah cups and light them, according to the laws of nature and laws of combustion, there's no miracle there. That's just the way it works. You put oil in the cup and you put a wick in there and you light it and it lights. It makes a light. So really the miracle, again, was only needed for 7 days. The essential miracle was the 7 days of continual usage of that original teeny tiny cruse of oil. And the Rebbe continued, we could still say there's a dilemma, even if we were to take the perspective of the sages that said the oil was divided into 8 portions, equal portions. In this scenario, you could say, of course, there was a miracle evident on the first day because the oil served for enough fuel for an entire day. It should have been lasted only a few hours. But the quandary still wasn't resolved. While the Rebbe considered that while a miracle might have been possible with a meager quantity of oil, a miracle still wasn't necessary on the first day. Rather than divide up the oil for 8 days, they could have used all the oil solely for the first day, and the miracle was only necessary for the remaining 7 days. So the question remains, why was Hanukkah established to last 8 days and not seven? At that point, blessings, we're going to conclude. And I'm wishing everyone a happy Hanukkah. This is just part one, and hopefully we'll go deeper into it and finish off the elucidation during the rest of Hanukkah. This is Dan Zitzigubin, your international local cyberspace Torah activist. Wish everyone a wonderful day, wonderful Hanukkah, and may all of our efforts to bring out all the messages of Hanukkah for the nation of Israel, and even for all the nations of the world, because the story of Hanukkah is that one can overcome the overwhelming circumstances which sometimes seem to surround us and drown us in a spirit of discontent, and we are overwhelmed by the jealousy and hatred of others. But if we stand strong, we can have a tremendous victory over those forces of jealousy and hatred and unnecessary competition. And may all this be accomplished in the way of Darkinom Darkishom, in a peaceful and pleasant way. And I have to remind you, everyone, because I try to be a good Nick, and many times I sound like a nudnik. You've got to be good. I've got to be good. We've all got to be good, because Ateva Tov Leheiti, it's the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator is the source of our goodness. Blessed us and anointed us not to be disappointed with this wonderful gift called the divine image, which helps us get on scrimmage. Our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. To live the life that we live, to all participate within the greater human family experience, all 7 billion plus, all of us, a blessed abode, a vessel, for the indwelling of Shekhinah, with the imminent arrival of Mashiach Tzidkein, will roar out Torah Chadashah Mitetetzei, the Mashiach, the righteous Messiah, the Lion Jew, will expound on inner dimensions of Torah that will be extremely deep and yet extremely accessible to the entire human film experience. Take everyone, blessed souls. We're segueing out with Zushia, featuring C. Landsbaum, Brother. And Brother, this is a great song. Take care, everyone. Bye.